Hello, and welcome to another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm your host, Shay Wheat, founder of Grace and Ease Productions, where we support entrepreneurs just like you with event-based marketing and sales strategies, allowing you to build your authority, your credibility, and your visibility in your industry. And today, I want to ask you a couple of questions before we dive in and I share with you who is our guest today. So today, I want you to sit there as you're listening or watching this. And do you ever really find yourself just like letting the day take control of you rather than you being able to be intentional on how your day unfolds? Let me ask another one. Do you fear that you are not showing up during the day as you would like to, or you aren't able to be really present enough with those around you because you're just feeling stressed and you just have way too many demands? Well, our guest today is here to connect and to guide us, or really to disconnect us from the pressures around us so that we can better connect to the people that you work with, as well as in your personal life. Amy is the author of 3 books, an Amazon bestseller, a TEDx speaker, a podcast host, and she's a CPA. On top of that, she's also a yogi and teaches yoga nationwide at conferences. So please help me welcome Amy Vetter to the Creating Powerful Impact stage. How are you, Amy?
Good. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm excited to have you because you don't normally hear CPA and yogi in the same sentence.
Correct.
that's just like what make you go, I'm sorry, what? Say that again?
Yeah.
How in the world does that even happen in the first place?
Probably the perfect storm in my life. I started out, growing up as a musician, doing art, painting, and was very creative. I also worked in my mom's business. She owned maid services that were in multiple states. So from the time I was 12, I was getting off the bus and working in her office after school. So I was seeing the two worlds, simultaneously as I was going through school. And then there was a third thing as well, is that my grandfather had been a CPA, and he was a CPA in the 1930s. So I had always heard about his career, his profession growing up. My mom had decided to not become a CPA. So I think she always felt that she should have, that was a safer path. And so by the time I was 12, I was saying it was going to be a CPA. I don't know that I knew what a CPA was, but I kept saying it, and I really went down that path because when I was 16, there was the savings and loan crisis. For the people, your listeners that were around at that point, and her clients, she had grown her home cleaning business into a commercial cleaning business, and many of those clients went down with that savings and loan crisis. Their construction loans defaulted, and so what happened is we lost everything because she lost her business. We lost our house. We lost everything inside of our house. We had to sell. So that was really a turning point for me, being on those parallel paths in my life where I was like, I'm going to be a CPA. I've heard that's a safe route. And so I'm going down that path, and I went down it with a vengeance and, really worked to have the goal to become a partner in a CPA firm. And when I was 32, I made partner in a CPA firm. I had also had my youngest son at the time and had gotten sick from the pregnancy right around the same time. And the doctor had told me that I couldn't do my normal workouts. The only thing I was allowed to do was yoga. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to lose this baby weight. That was all that was going through my head at the time. But I also made partner at the same time. So the yoga had started, and I made partner, and I wasn't as excited or happy when I actually achieved that, and I didn't understand why. And so having that perfect storm of, I had achieved the goal that I really wanted to achieve, wasn't as happy about it as I thought. I started yoga and the self-reflection, and I also started seeing a therapist, which was very hard for me to do because in my family it was kind of said weak people go to see a therapist. And so walking in the door was very hard. But that really started my journey of this self-reflection, this really understanding my belief systems, where they came from, how to shift them, and my path of really merging my two worlds of being a CPA and a yogi.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. And I also just love the journey that the universe like takes us on, that
I
you're
know.
like, aha, just kidding. This is really
Yeah.
where I wanted you to go. But you actually like listen to the call, which it sounds like that's kind of one of the bigger steps, is like going, oh, okay, something's not right. It's not vibing anymore. And
Yeah.
how do we bring in what you love to do as a child back into what it is that you do as an adult, with all of the adult learning pieces too, which I love.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. I think that's just absolutely fascinating. Now, in the beginning here, we talked about, how really can we, and why should we take a look at deep just disconnecting from the pressures all around us in order for us to really connect in with the people, considering, all the things that are happening in life and in business right now. Like, we've got AI, we've got just the pressures of being an entrepreneur or being, a senior leader in a corporation, and like all of that's coming at us all the time, and it just seems like we're just always plugged in and connected to our phones, like it never seems to stop. So how do we really start looking at disconnecting in order to reconnect?
Well, I think what you said is a really important piece, and that is the awareness piece. So we can keep pushing ourselves, and if we're feeling internally stressed and the busyness, and ignore it. And that's what I was doing until that time, right? Until, it was just the struggle was too much that I had to actually step back and listen. And the thing is that in order to do that, we have to create certain boundaries in our life to be able to disconnect, to be able to get still. And getting still takes a lot of courage, because being alone with our mind, being alone with our thoughts, our emotions, and really understanding what is coming up for us, where that stress is coming from, maybe we're not wanting to actually recognize what that is. And so it takes to actually hear it, to understand it, and to do something about it. And it's not an overnight thing. So I think in this world, as you describe it, this business world we're all in, it moves so fast, and we want quick answers and quick results, and AI gets us there even faster, right? But human transformation, there is no easy button. There is no set path for every person, that everyone's got to find that journey themselves. But to begin, we have to make the commitment that we're open to even being present with ourselves, and just allowing our inner thoughts, our intuition, to surface without
It like, so I get it intuitively. I get, why it actually makes sense, because from a biological standpoint of like slowing down to speed up, and all of those kind of like catchphrases that you hear. But I'm curious to know, have you seen, or have you started to maybe plot, because with your CPA, right, like the data, I would love to like hear tracking, or is this something that's maybe new, of going, okay, the ones that keep on the path and they're always disconnected and they're just gonna keep plugging along, versus somebody that stops and becomes aware and ends up, tapping into the stillness and the mindfulness, and then do they then speed up? Like, is there studies out there? Is there data around it that shows, like, yeah, this is why it's actually so powerful, other than just the experience itself?
So much data as far as burnout in this country. We have a major, and our country is not as good at taking time off as other countries. And really disconnecting. If you've ever worked in a global company, you know that it is their rituals that take 2, 3, 4 weeks off, and when they do, they're really off, right? They're completely disconnected. That is kind of unheard of in the US. We take a week and we're still checking our emails and so forth. So if you can never get that release, there's never a way to tap into your own energy. And I can say from the people that I work with and the businesses that I work with, that the people that do go on this journey, I think the most important thing is that what happens normally in our day is our brains automatically go to the negative. So that's just where our brains sit. And when we go and talk to our friends and we go home to our family, we're talking about all the negatives that happened in the day, not necessarily the good things that happened in the day. And part of that is it's easier to kind of look to the outside of why I'm feeling bad. It must be someone else's fault. It must be my workplace's fault. And it's always outside of us rather than slowing down and actually saying, what is my 100% responsibility? And how could I show up differently or shift something differently? And would the outcome be different if I made a shift? Not expecting someone else to make a shift. And when people go down this journey, what happens is they realize, you know what, maybe my job isn't so bad or this culture isn't so bad. If I start putting boundaries on myself and saying when work starts and stops, when I take breaks during the day, when I make sure that my health is taken care of or I'm eating the right types of foods, when I start taking responsibility for things that I can control, not the things that I cannot control, but the things that I can control, what a difference it starts making in the energy that I have and how I show up for the people around me. So, I can speak to what I see every day when people actually make the commitment to shift that. And it takes small steps, right? It takes small wins. So it is like to say, I'm going to stop working by 6 o'clock. And it may not be every day. Let's say you can't do it every day, but maybe you say 2 days this week, I'm going to stop by 6 o'clock and I am not going to work past that. When I start doing that, then I've got to think about what am I going to do so I don't go backwards, that I don't look at my phone, I don't look at my computer, I don't take away my attention from the people around me. That might mean that I need to sign up for a hobby because it'll make me stop working, right? There's a start and an end time to a hobby. So, using yoga as an example, if I know I'm going to go to a 6 o'clock yoga class, I have to wrap my stuff up by 5:30, right? I've got drive time. I've got to be, at a good stopping point at that point. Typically, if I go to a class from 6 to 7, I am not going to feel like working again because I've shifted, right? Like I've shifted what, how my energy feels. I've shifted my mindset and what I want. And so actually taking the time and saying, when I get home, I'm going to make sure that when I'm eating dinner with my children, I'm present. I am not checking my phone. I'm putting on the do not disturb. And then maybe I've set some parameters to say, you know what, at 9 o'clock, maybe I'll check email for an hour and then got to do down before I go to sleep. So it's actually creating a plan so that you've got some routine. You're not just leaving yourself in the abyss. So if you say, I'm going to stop at 6 o'clock and I don't have a plan of what that means and what I'm going to do, what I'm going to stop, it's very hard to make sure that you can stick with that. So it does take pre-planning, it does take thought, and you'll see, like, once you start doing these things, you want more of it because it just feels better. You feel better, you feel more present with the people around you, and the people around you are going to notice that as well.
Yeah, I love that you were saying it's like give yourself something to put in that space, right? Because if you don't, then I mean that's a really good little hack to at least get you in the habit of it is to put something else in that space. So if you do the yoga at 6 o'clock, you know you have to be done at a certain time in order to go to the yoga. It's like another appointment on your calendar, like you would for work. And you're right, you don't want to go back to work afterwards. Right? That's awesome. I love that. It's a really good little hack. And then the first place you said was like essentially the awareness. And then another little hack would be putting something in that spot or some type of thing you used to do as a kid or some type of hobby to kind of start to get you in the habit. Is there anything else in there that would support you in continuing this essentially like work-life balance, disconnecting from the stresses of the world to make you
Yeah.
reconnect?
Well, and so I actually call it work-life harmony versus balance. And the reason I do is because I always felt work-life balance was a little bit stressful, that I thought it was supposed to be a certain amount of time, or I'd look at other people and think, well, it's working for them, it's not working for me. I don't seem as peaceful as them. And so it's important to think about just the ebb and flow of your day and where to stick things in. And so the research supports that if we are going to be the most productive in our day, we actually do need to take breaks to let our minds release, to shift. And the problem is we stack our calendar, meeting to meeting to meeting. And then if we have a frustrating meeting with someone, then it rolls into the next meeting. And then we show up with that energy, and then it just keeps snowballing through the day. So I really look at work-life harmony as not just before and after work, is what things can you do right in your work day so that you can reset, show up with intention and the way that you want to show up and the way you want to feel. So, for example, is blocking breaks on your calendar, whether that be 5 minutes, whether that be 15 minutes. And when we talk about the calendar and going back to what you said before about this is just as important as a customer or a client appointment, you can feel like because it's for you, it's not as important, but it is because it is a gift to other people when you show up better and you become more efficient and more productive because you've let your brain release. So the research supports that basically we can work on something for like 50 minutes, but then we need to take a break for at least 15 minutes to reset before we start our next, individual piece of work so that we can stay focused. And so what do you do in that 15 minutes? Again, what is the plan going to be? Are there things that you've planned to eat during that time that you're going to go reset and do that? Or maybe while you were working, you turned on your do not disturb, you didn't check your emails. That will be your 15 minutes to check your emails. Or you're gonna take a walk outside or just go outside or walk around the house or the office or whatever to just, re-energize, get your brain, cleared. So that you can reset when it's time to do your next task, your next meeting, and just let that thing go that you were working on or who you were meeting with prior to that. I personally, even if you have 5 minutes, so one thing that I do is set my meetings for 25 minutes or 50 minutes instead of 30 or instead of an hour, because having just that 5 minute break or 10 minute break between meetings that allows you. If you want to take 2 minutes, close your eyes, get still. You can use a meditation app or an alarm, but it helps you to reset your central nervous system before you go into your next experience. So again, it's planning throughout the day of where that makes sense in your day to take those breaks. find yourself so happy that you never miss a set and show up the way that you want.
Brilliant. Yes, I love that. I love that. So many good like ahas so far, Amy. I believe you have a gift for our audience, and you've also got like three books that probably go into a lot of this a lot deeper. Would you mind sharing a little bit about the gift that you have and your books?
Yeah. So if you've thought about doing yoga, we have B3 yoga. So B3 stands for business plus balance equals bliss. It's the methodology that we take people through and helping them on this journey. As part of that, in our bliss category, is yoga. And so we have live streaming classes each week, but we also record every class. So there's hundreds and hundreds of yoga classes from gentle to vinyasa or a more physical flow that you have access to. And we have a 30-day code that you'll get from listening to this podcast that I believe will be in your show notes with the link so you can sign up. I have two books that can help you on this journey. One is Business Balance Bliss, and it talks about the things that you can incorporate right into your workday, or after work, or getting back to what is even a hobby that you would want to try, going through that process, learning about other people that have gone through that process as well. That's in that book. And then I have a second book, that's called Disconnect to Connect, Tap into the Power Within You to Create the Life You Desire. And that is all about understanding where our beliefs and patterns and habits originated. It will take you on that journey with my own personal stories, but also others as well. And there's exercises right in that book to help take you on that journey as well.
Beautiful. And we will definitely have links in the show notes to capture all of those different details because they're super powerful. Before I let you go, I do have one more question for you. I would love for you to share with us what is a takeaway or a memorable note you'd like to leave our audience with today?
Yeah, so I would say that there's no finish line to this. Like, there's no one that's like an expert in work-life balance or mindfulness. There's always a journey because we can't control life, right? Something works for us right now, and then next year something happens in our life that gets thwarted and we have to shift into something else. But the way I look at it, by practicing these techniques, it's almost like insurance. So you can't get insurance when you need it. And it's the same thing when we're in stressful situations or we're busy or we're stressed or we're getting health issues, whatever those things are. When we practice these techniques in our daily life, when we need to tap into it during our most stressful times, it's natural for us to go into our toolbox and figure out which thing is going to help relieve some of that stress.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting the mask on you first and being able to support others, but you have it's serving from your overflow versus being so depleted, right?
Yeah,
And so
exactly.
making sure that you have that before you actually need it. I've never heard that insurance example before, but that makes a ton of sense. So thank you so much for being with us today, and I want to thank our audience for joining us on another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm excited for you to take all of these lessons, all of these resources that you've learned here today, start implementing them so that you can create even more impact in your world. Until next time, have an outstanding rest of your day. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to the Creating Powerful Impact podcast. If you are a successful coach, speaker, author, or thought leader, who would like to be on this program, simply visit creatingpowerfulimpact.com/guest. If you are someone who got something out of this interview, would you please do me a favor and share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials. Also, if you know somebody that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Creating Powerful Impact. I love seeing all of your posts and great guest selections. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they really mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more about us? Head on over to our website, graceandeaseproductions.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Just look for Grace and Ease Productions on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.